Hebrews chapter number 2, I'm interested particularly in verse number 1. I'm interested in verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to my heart clearly and landed me this today. I wasn't planning to preach out of this passage at all, but the Lord just kept on just nudging my heart that where I was planning to go and thought about going was not really what He needed and what He wanted. And sometimes it's easy to know God's will and sometimes it's not. But I just kept praying. I said, Lord, you're going to show me if you want whatever you want. You're going to show me. And it was through a process. Sometimes God just, I mean, it's like, there it is, you know. But then sometimes it's, you go to this passage, and then that you, next thing you know, you're over here in this passage. The next thing you know, you're there. And then the Spirit of God will bear witness to you that you're that this is it right here. Amen. Now, He may not have to do that with you. You may be in tune to where He can just say, right there it is. But sometimes it's tough on my end to do that. But anyway, Hebrews chapter number 2, this very familiar passage, but I want us to look at it. I believe the Lord wants to give it to us tonight, basically, if nothing else, as a reminder, just as a reminder of what's going on or what could go on with us. Verse number 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels, and chapter number 1 ended with that, verse 13 and 14. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That is, when in the Old Testament God would send a word through an angel, God would send a message through an angel many times in the Old Testament. And we find here that the Bible said, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, in other words, if an angel who was a messenger of God delivered a message from God to people and they transgressed that angelic message, they were disobedient to that came through an angel, to the point that God said they would receive a just recompense or reward. That is, you wouldn't get by with it. God will not let them in the Old Testament get by with messages that came through even an angel. And then He goes on. Notice that doesn't end with a period. It goes into verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? What I've done in my Bible is I've drew a line from the verse number 2 with the word spoken down to the word spoken in verse 3, because that is being contrasted. If the word spoken by angels, God held people accountable for, and then verse number 3 talks about that so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Now you think about that. If God held people responsible and accountable for a word that came through an angel, how much more is He going to hold people accountable for the message that comes through from the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is the recorded voice of God. This is the recorded voice of the Lord. And so He's showing here that if they didn't get by in verse 2, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation, which the Lord began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, the apostles? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. Now, I want to look back in verse 1, and again, I believe the Lord's just wanting to check us on it. I believe God wants us to see something here and just be reminded of what is stated in verse number 1. I want to read verse number 1 again. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And there again, you could Make a note in your Bible that that is going to be in contrast even to the angel's message in verse 2. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What has been on my heart today for the service tonight, and I prayed about it today, and I said, Lord, there's no doubt that you're just wanting to remind us that we have the potential of slipping. We have that, and if I've ever seen slipping days, if I've ever seen days that would encourage slipping spiritually, it's in this hour. Seem like some people slips in the sunshine, and sunshine when everything's going great, we all can testify that is a classic circumstance to bring about spiritual neglect and spiritual slipping. But not just in the sunshine, but in the storms of life, when things are not comfortable and things are not convenient. That is a classic time for your spiritual ground to be lost. Spiritual slipping take place in your life. I think it's interesting to note that God sends a warning to these Hebrew believers about that. And if you read verse number 1, the way it's read, God is blaming them for it. If there is a slipping taking place, it is always our fault. Can I get a witness right there? It is always our fault. And listen to me. Slipping is never of God. It is God's never behind it. And if he's never behind it, then he's certainly not for it. God cannot bless slipping. God cannot bless, and we'll say more about it in a minute. God cannot bless that. It's against him, as this context would show us. Amen. And so I wonder tonight, I don't want you to raise your hand or speak out in a response, but I wonder how many in here would have your eye on your spiritual life to the point that you could recognize some slipping taking place. You said, but preacher, this is the Wednesday night service, the cream of the crop, and is here. It don't matter. If I was the only one here, if I was here just by myself tonight, I need to be reminded that my spirituality is not concrete. My salvation is concrete. It is fixed. It's settled. It's linked to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not linked to me. My fingerprints is not on my salvation. Hallelujah. We ought to tag team and shout for 30 minutes on that right there. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. My salvation is settled. My salvation is fixed. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches, praise God. The only life Jesus ever gives people is called eternal life, or it's called everlasting life. That's the only life. Nowhere does he give people temporal life. Nowhere does he give people conditional life. Amen. My life that came in with salvation is connected, listen, to a relationship, not my fellowship. My spirituality can fluctuate. My spirituality can be flimsy at times. My spirituality can be faulty and failing at times. Amen. Yours too. Yours too. Amen. This slipping that we're looking at tonight needs to be looked at as a possibility. It needs to be looked at as something personal. You slipping is not my slipping. My slipping is not your slipping. And I wonder tonight, how bothered are we over any slipping that's taking place in our life? And lest I forget, and lest I don't get to it tonight, I want you to know that God does not view slipping as just, that's just not really a good thing. God does not look at you and I of letting things slip, the things which we have heard, which we have been exhorted to give the more earnest heed to. God does not look at that as just, well, you know, that's not really a good thing. God looks at it as Are y'all ready? S-I-N. You say, well, where you get that at? Verse number 2 tells us the results and the consequences of disobedience toward the message that was given from an angel. Listen, what does it say? Every transgression, nobody got by with it. Every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. God dealt with it. But if we're not careful, come on now. It don't matter if I get too far in this or not. I'm going to just squeeze it out what time I'm up here. Listen. God looks at it bad. God looks at it as not good. And if we're not careful, we'll look at it as, everybody else is doing it. There's nobody else really, hitting it home runs. Nobody else is really doing much. And you know what you'll do with that? You'll use the faultiness and the flimsiness of other people to justify your own slipping. Amen. But I think it's worth noting tonight that God will not whip me for your sin. And that God will not whip you for my sin. God, if I'm slipping, God deals with me. If you're slipping, God will deal with you. This is classic circumstances, every way you look, to encourage spiritual decline. And you know that's right. Churches are in a mess. I don't know how many times you've heard me say that. I don't know why that churches are in such a mess. I believe what I've said here is that God is allowing the circumstances of our day to manifest the real condition, of, not just of churches, but of individual Christians. Amen. And if what we're going through right now is all it takes to bring about a slipping in your life, to bring about prayerlessness in your life, to bring about keeping your Bible closed from Sunday to Sunday, if it, amen, gets you to come to the place where you don't have joy in your, if all that we're facing right now, which it, we don't like, none of us like, but this is probably nothing compared to what's around the corner and what's over the horizon. And if this, what's going on right now, shakes us, what is going to be when some of the hard battles hit? There'll be churches everywhere closing. Not because of corona. Not because of virus. Not because they won't wear a mask. But I'll tell you what it'll be. It'll be because people do not have a spirituality that they let it lay dormant in their life before the storm. They didn't feed it. They didn't mold and develop it. They didn't deepen it. And when the storm hit, it caught them off guard. And Matthew chapter 7 points out the wise man that built his house upon the rock and the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And how many knows in here, in that passage, what it was that identified the wise man and what it was that identified the foolish man? How many knows what it is? The wise man is the person that hears the word and does it. He will be likened unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. But the foolish man, same storm, same wind, same rain, same day, same everything. But he didn't have his house built on the rock. His house was built on the sand. And he was the one that heard the word and did it not. Are y'all listening? May the Lord help us. Amen. Don't you listen, y'all know this passage. Y'all know this passage. I know this passage. But God says, I want us to be reminded. I want us to be checked with it. And how, listen, how many times have you heard me say and heard others say, the one saying probably that gets stated and recited more than any that I ever have is, your spirituality is your own responsibility. Are y'all listening? And when, oh my goodness, if it's my responsibility, then the results is my responsibility. I need to take up. But anyway, let's go through this passage real quickly and look at some things. The first thing I just want to give you is some definitions. First of all, the word slip. If that seems to be a great emphasis in verse number 1 and in this context that I read from tonight, then what does it mean? The word slip means to flow by. To flow by, that is carelessly or negligently pass by. In other words, something that we let go right by us. We let it slip right by us. We let it flow right by us. And that word flow, I don't know that that's the analogy here, but I was thinking in my mind of a stream. Of a stream that the current, if you're out in it or beside of it, that current is coming toward you and it's bringing whatever toward you. But that current also continues to go on by you. And the further it goes and the further away that it goes. And if that's the analogy that you and I could grasp the truth behind the word slip. I wonder, as we are in the current and things are being brought to us, and in this passage it's the things which we've heard. The preaching we've heard. The word of God we have read. Listen, this Bible right here came from upstream. This Bible came from upstream and it came down and has been passed on and been passed on to others, and one generation passing it on to another generation. And you know, Jude, since we're right here pretty close, you don't have to turn there. Let's read. I'll read it to you. I wasn't even planning to use this. Listen to this in the book of Jude. The little book right before Revelation, it says in verse number 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Listen, here it is. "Which was once delivered unto the saints." The faith there in that verse refers to the body of revealed truth. When the body of revealed truth is gone, it is forever gone. God gave us one time. God gave the church, if you will. God gave generations before us one time. Gave the revealed body of truth, the word of God. And listen, the Bible said we should be contending for the faith, that body of revealed truth, which was once delivered unto the saints. And if the saints fails to hand it on to the next generation, and they let it just pass on by them, they just let it go on by them thinking, oh, I wish somebody would do something. I wish somebody would do something. No. Listen, God, how many of you are saved? If you're saved, you know what the Bible calls you in that verse? Saints. We've been given, look what we've been given, and what are we doing with it? Are we handing it off? Are we passing it on? Or are we letting it flow negligently by us? The word slip should be looked at as personal. Slipping refers to not just something personal, but it's something that is passing. And slipping is something in this passage is referred to as something progressive. And that is what it doesn't stop with one level. It gets worse and worse. Slipping always gets worse and worse and worse. God said in our text, get back there. In Hebrews chapter number 2, would you listen? In chapter number 2, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If you're taking notes, I would like to mention, number one, the revelation of slipping. The revelation of slipping. You know what God measures slipping by? It's in this text. It's in verse 1. You know what God measures slipping by? Are you heeding what you have heard? That's the measurement. That's the gauge. Amen. Listen, I wonder how much effort. Listen, it don't take no effort to slip. It don't take any energy to slip. You don't have to work on it much. I mean, just give your flesh a little leisure and slipping will take place. Amen. But God said, I want you to know how you can measure and come to the conclusion of whether there is a slipping taking place in your life. And that is, have you heeded what you have heard? Look at verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest what? You ought to underline the word heed. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. So what is it that measures? What is it that is the gauge? What is it? It's not me and you to each other. What is it? Are we heeding what we have heard? Now listen, we're not talking about heeding what you heard just last Sunday. We're talking about heeding what you have heard in your whole life. Now you think about you talking about, look at the exposure we've all had in our life, growing up around Christian relatives and hearing preaching and teaching and devotions and on, what are we doing to try to make sure that, God, you gave this to me, you said this to me, amen, and I'm going to try my best to stay current with its application. I guarantee if the truth was known, probably it wouldn't be hardly anybody in here could tell me what I preached in the last 5 services. In fact, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want you to think I'm throwing you under the bus. If I was put on the carpet right now, I don't know if I'd have to really think hard about it. I mean, I could pull it up pretty quick. Of course, it ought to be easy. Seemed like for a month we've been in that settling for less. That should have been the first thing that come across your mind, Richard. It had to be that. It's the only thing that's the only verse in the Bible, as far as we know, the last few weeks. But the revelation, that is, what is it that reveals this slipping, is when you realize I've heard a lot more than I'm heeding. And we're going to be held accountable for what we have heard. As they were held accountable in verse 2 with what angels said and what they heard from angels, they were held accountable in verse 2. And we are also going to be held accountable for what the Lord said in verse number 3. And God makes it very clear, we will not escape. How shall we escape? That's not really talking about being saved. How shall we escape? You don't get, salvation's not an escape factor. Salvation is a reject factor. Amen. You don't go to you don't get in trouble with God because you neglect salvation. You get in trouble because you reject salvation. This is talking to believers. Paul, I believe, was the writer of Hebrews, and he even put himself in there in personal pronoun form. He said, if we neglect so great salvation, which there in verse number 3, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord. So the revelation of slipping, you're to look at that in your own personal life. Not only the revelation of slipping, that is, hearing and heeding. If you hear truth, then there should be a heeding of truth. God frowns on disobedience. God detests disobedience. Amen. But Brother Ivan, I wonder how many of us look at disobedience the way the Lord looks at it. I wonder how many of us look at disobedience and transgression as, well, you know, no big deal. Boy, that's, I'm telling you, the devil wants to put that in your head that sin is a little thing and sin is not a bad thing and God understands and amen. I'm going to tell you, God looks at sin as exactly what it is. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to know you're in trouble. You are in major trouble. You say, preacher, what do you mean I'm in trouble if I'm lost? You've got sin that is between you and God, and you have no way personally, earthly, or even humanly to remove it. You have nothing you can sacrifice, nothing you can offer, nothing you can do works-based that can remove that sin that is between you and God. Amen. There's only one way to get rid of that. There's only one way to deal with that. And that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. The substitutionary sacrifice. The go-between. The advocate. Amen. The propitiation for our sins is a big word meaning satisfaction. Jesus satisfied the wrath of God that was hanging over you and that condemnation that was hanging over you. Why? Because of your slipping, because you have ignored the Bible and transgressed the Bible. But anyway, there's the revelation of slipping. Secondly, I'd like to hasten on and just deal with the second truth that just, it's simple, it's right here. The second thing I want you to notice is the responsibility of slipping. Look what it says, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You know what the writer of the Hebrews says here? We are responsible. We are responsible. Let them slip. They didn't slip because it was a forced issue. It was they slipped, Brother Craig, because it was an allowance. It was something that we let happen. Well, I don't know if we can get that or not. I don't know. That's so big. I don't know if we can get that. Amen. Amen. And a good illustration to illustrate that word let, and there are several, but this one sticks out in my mind right now. It's the church at Ephesus. The Bible said they left their first love. They didn't lose it. It wasn't stolen. They, because of their own condition, allowed it to happen. This slipping right here, that's why I'm using the word responsibility. Responsibility is because if we are slipping, it's because we allowed them to slip. Whatever shape you're in tonight, good or bad, whatever condition you're in tonight, it's not because of other people. The condition you're in tonight is your relationship to the things which you have heard. And have you heeded it or not? So there's the responsibility. Everybody's quiet in here. I hope you listen. The responsibility of slipping, and let them slip. They slip because they let them slip. Amen? My salvation is linked to the Lord Jesus Christ, but my spirituality is linked to my hearing and my heeding. And the devil knows that, and therefore he desires to attack you in your acceptance and your action and your obedience to the Word of God. And I'll tell you what else I'm seeing. I'm talking about I'm seeing it everywhere. Amen. It's not just that new truth as we hear new messages on Sunday and new messages on Sunday night or whatever, you know, of heeding and hearing that and heeding that. But we're talking, listen, the scripture and the messages that God has given us time and again, the things that God said to you personally, it may not have come through this pulpit. It may have been in your devotions as you was reading. God said something to you. God put his finger on some things in your life that needs to be dealt with. And I want to tell you what, it'd be easy to let that slip. It'd be easy to let that slip. And I'm thankful. Listen, I told a preacher, it wasn't today, it was yesterday. I told him, he said, ask him how the church is doing. I said, we're getting back on our feet. I said, the Lord's been meeting with us. The last three Sundays has been phenomenal. Just the presence of God, good liberty in the service. And then I'm thinking, here I'm preaching this tonight. Maybe it's because we need to guard that. Amen. Because you know as well as I do, Lord, help us. If you've been saved any length of time, you know when one of the most dangerous places in your life to let things slip is when you spiritually are doing good. How many of us could testify that we've had probably one of the sorriest Mondays that you could have at some point, at following on the heels of one of the greatest Sundays we had here? I don't know why that is, buddy. We can have a good service on Sunday, a good day, and spiritually we've been enriched and blessed and enjoyed the presence of God. And then on Monday, I don't know if we, Brother Aaron, I don't know if we let our guards down. I don't know. Of course, the devil's going to attack. Anytime God moves, the devil's fixing to. But anyway, let's move on. I got to hurry. Y'all getting done before I am. The revelation, the responsibility that's associated with it. Here's a third one, obligation. The obligation. Look at verse number one. Therefore, we ought. You ought to underline the word ought. Therefore, we, listen, the writer put himself there, we, including all of them, including all of us that are saved, we ought to give the more earnestly. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll look at truth as, well, yeah, that's to them or her, him, whatever. No, the Bible said this obligation is a we thing. We all are in this. We have one word of truth that's been given to us. We are all to be earnestly contending for it. We all ought to be involved in trying to preserve it and pass it on instead of letting it pass on by. The obligation, we ought. Listen to the word. This is in the Strong's Concordance. The word ought means it is necessary. Now, if something is necessary, well, right off the top of my head, first thing that comes to my mind is it's not optional. If something is necessary, that means there are a lot of important things attached to that. That if we let it slip by, then those things will go undone. The word ought means it is. Actually, it's in parentheses too. It is. It was necessary as binding. It behooved us to take and give the more earnest heed. To be meet, M-E-E-T, to it's a must needs, be needed, be needful, should. That's what the word ought is. Are we listening sometimes when the preaching is going on or the teaching is going on or our Bible reading is going on? Are we listening? Are we listening and responding as if it is an obligation, a necessary thing that I not only hear it, but that I heed it? And you know, a lot of times we don't ever even get to the heed part because we don't ever even get to the hear part. H-E-A-R. Amen. All right. Are you getting it? God help us. I heard one small grunt right there. I'm not sure. I'm just going to keep preaching. I'm just going to keep getting with it. But ought to give the more earnesty. Now watch this right here. I think this is good, and I think this will be a good place to put it in here, is the definition of the word give. That stuck out to me. If you could see my Bible, I've got those words. Some of them I've got double underscored. Some of them I've got single underscored, because they are important words. It's all important, but it's those things that stick out. And I was reading that, and it said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. We ought to give. Do you see what that implies? It's not something that's going to be taken. It's not something that God's going to make us do. It's not something God's going to pull out of us. No, we ought to give it. We ought to give it. That word give means to hold the mind towards. Oh, boy. How many of you knows if you don't think it, you won't walk it? If you don't think it, you won't live it. Amen. It means to hold the mind towards, to pay attention to. Lord, have mercy. I was preaching in a revival not long ago, and if it hadn't looked so bad on the visiting preacher, I would have gladly closed my Bible mid-sentence and walked out the back door. I never seen such a circus in my life. I'm trying to preach. Every baby in the house was screaming their heads off. Literally. I mean, they were drowning me out. And I had a microphone and speakers. They were drowning me out. And the preacher was apologizing after the service. I said, brother, those babies was not my distraction. Those adults in here was my distraction. I said, there probably wasn't two out of the whole congregation that was looking at me while I was trying to preach. And here's the way I look at it, right or wrong, good, bad, or ugly. Amen. If you're not looking at me, you're not listening to me. That's just the way it is. I know that you can look at me and not listen to me. That happens all the time. But at least I'm deceived about that. But it's doubtful that if you're not looking, you're not listening. Say amen right there. Amen. And I'm telling you, if I would have just listened, I'm telling you, I was thinking it. I was even feeling it. Close your Bible and walk out the door. Now, bro, you try to be spiritual when all that's going on. You try to maintain a focus of preaching when all that ruckus was going, well, I named it right a while ago, that circus. I mean, that was terrible. And as well as I like to preach, and I don't have much to preach usually, I said that sarcastically. But when I'm threatening in my mind, I never did say it. Because the preacher told me, he said, preach, you should have dealt with it. I said, no, you didn't want me to deal with it. One, it wasn't my church. I wasn't the pastor. And I told him, I said, brother, I almost drew attention to it. I said, and it wouldn't have been good. He said, you should have dealt with it. I said, no, I'm not. No, there wouldn't have been much left if I'd have dealt with it the way I was feeling. In the body, out of the body, I couldn't tell. Flesh or spirit, I didn't know. I just knew that it was going to be bad if I dealt with it. So I just kept looking down. I just kept looking down. I reached inside, turned my hearing aids completely off to where I didn't hear nothing. And I just blindfolded myself where I stayed right here on my points, my poem, my scripture until I got done, closed my Bible, and walked off and sat down. Whew. Now, how I got on that, I don't know. But attention to give. You got to give your attention. When you're reading your Bible, you got to, how many of you know you can read your devotions and your mind be elsewhere? You can be sitting in a service and you're hearing preaching and your mind is elsewhere. Amen. You got to give. That's an intentional act. That's an intentional move of the will to direct your attention to what is worth your attention. How many times our attention goes to what is not worth it? Well, it could be preached on, couldn't it? Anyway, where are we? We've got the revelation and responsibility and obligation. Give the more earnest. We're obligated to give. Let's look at another definition. The more earnest heed. The more earnest heed. You know what that means? It didn't just say give heed. We'd probably have revival if we did that. We'd probably have, everybody, okay. We would probably have revival if we just give heed. But I believe Paul's the writer, and he always took it to another level. If you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. You might as well go a fullest extent with it, amen, and buffet the flesh by doing so. He said we ought to give the more earnest heed. He added some things there to that statement that made it weighty. The word give. The word give means, I already told you the word give, to hold you the mind toward, to pay attention to be cautious about, to apply oneself to adhere to give attendance to beware of, to be given. And the list goes on, definitions. In fact, Jesus used that word here that's give, talk about give, the more earnest heed. He uses that oftentimes when he would say, take heed. Or he would say, beware of. Anytime he'd say, take heed to or beware of. And he used other things too, but those stuck out to me. He usually was attached to something. Like for instance, when he said, take heed and beware of. He was talking about in Matthew 7, the false prophet. Something that it can be damaging. Something that can be destructive. Anyway, I got to move on. Listen, give the more earnest heed. Give the more earnest heed. Well, I didn't look up the word earnest. How did that slip by me? How did I do that? That shows you right there, I'm not perfect. Thank God for cell phones with a Strong's Concordance right here on the pulpit. Amen. I did look it up, but I don't know where I put it. I don't know where it's at. Oh, here it is. The word give the more earnest heed means more super abundantly, more abundantly, the more earnest, more exceeding, more frequent, much more. So it's not that we just sort of give heed to what we hear. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. The things which we have heard or to hear or to have audience of. What has come into our ears. What has come into our ears. What has been noised to us. What has been reported to us. Let me give you one other thing to look at before we move on. I'm not going to be preaching much longer. And it's only 8:08. Y'all ain't going to believe that, are you? Of course, I got mine stopped up here. No, I'm just kidding. But listen to this. To give the more earnest heed to the things, Brother Ivan, THINGS. You know what that identifies? Particulars. Details. Specifics. If you're not careful, you'll get a listening ear to what God is saying in just general form. Just generality. Instead of give the more earnest heed to the things. Things. God is interested in things. God is interested in things. People, listen, we ought to be interested in things. Amen. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God wants us to pay attention to things. When God identifies things in your life, I think that's important. I think that's something that we need to pause and look at. And I believe it'd be good, Brother Ivan, if when God begins to deal with us, and whether it's through preaching or devotions or just the Spirit of God speaking to you about some things in your life, negative and positive. Negative is things that needs to go, things that you need to deal with, things that's getting too big in you and too big to you that needs dealing with. But then also there's the giving heed, the more earnest heed to the things positive, things that needs to come in, things that needs to be developed, things that needs to be getting bigger in our life. Amen. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Let me give you this. Not only is there obligations, and if you're looking for a fancy outline, you're in the wrong place tonight. But there's accountability. Where there's responsibility, there's accountability. Lest at any time we should let them slip. We should give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we, at any time, we should let them slip. There's accountability. As I already pointed out in verse 2 and also in verse 3, God's not going to look over that. If we want God to continue, one, His blessing, and to increase that blessing, then we need to show Him that we are interested. We are interested in what God wants to say to us. So don't get mad when I preach on things. When I got saved in that 7-week revival, it was a common thing almost nightly. You could about count on it. Somewhere through the course of that meeting, in that night service, somebody would be giving up something. They'd go to the altar. God dealt with me about this. And God dealt with me about that. And God dealt with me about this. And I'm going to give that up for Jesus, or else I'm going to start doing whatever it was. But you don't hardly ever hear of that anymore. You don't hardly ever hear somebody standing up that's been in church any length of time and saying, you know what, God has dealt with me about this. God's dealt with me about my music. I couldn't tell you the last time I've heard anybody say anything about that. And I hope that we've got all that taken care of here, hopefully, or surely to goodness. But I'd almost guarantee that we don't. Amen. Because when there's a lack of spirituality, very evident lack of spirituality, first place I look is the ear. You've got your ear turned to something you ought not to be listening to. Oh boy. Preach, you going to preach on them things? Not tonight. Well, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things. Hey, when my pastor preached, he preached on things. You better believe he is a things preacher. Well, he didn't preach on hardly nothing, but he didn't wear us out on something. Amen. I remember Brother Craig, you remember that when I first come up here. Brother Craig and Miss Don them had been coming here. And Brother Craig told somebody, I think he meant it as a compliment. That's the way I'm taking it. If that wasn't a compliment, don't tell me. But Brother Craig told somebody, he said, it don't matter what Brother Rackley, what text to use, if it's John 3:16 or whatever it is, it don't matter where it's at, before he's done with it, he's going to run it through the offering plate. I'm going to preach on a little bit on giving, or he's going to run it through the closet, the wardrobe. I'm going to deal with about God's people supposed to dress. When's the last time you saw anybody deal with that? When's the last time you heard somebody stand up, or just maybe they didn't stand up and make a big deal out of it, but it's just evident in their life that they've made some decisions and commitments to God about that. Amen. Amen. I did that. I did that years. I did that when I first got saved. Then that revival, God molded me in those few days of revival, few weeks of revival, that is still true in my life today. And it might be easier if I look the other way. It might be easier if I left it unsaid and not take a stand. I'm going to tell you, friend, that's compromise. I read this. I don't know who said it. I read it in somewhere. I don't even know where I got it or where I read it. But they said there's only one direction for compromise. You don't never compromise up. You always compromise down. There's only one direction for compromise. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but buddy, I can testify that through all of this, these past few months of the trying times that we all have experienced, I can't tell you how many times the devil's whispered in my ear, you need to lighten up. You need to let up. And I don't consider myself a hard preacher. I don't consider, definitely don't consider myself a mean preacher for sure. But I'm telling you, friend, these are days that are slipping days. These are days that would be easy for you to back up on your convictions and back up on things that you gave to God in the years gone by. Amen. Amen. So there's accountability. If there's responsibility toward the word, then there's going to be accountability toward not heeding or there'll be a reward for heeding the word of God. To whom much is given, much is required. And I'm going to close with this one. And I just call it the reasons. The reasons for this slipping. And boy, this got big. I mean, it's right there, simple. But the first thing I want you to notice in verse number one is not the reason. The first one, not the first reason or the negative reason that is not really here, but it's implied, is that number one, it's not because of the absence of truth. It's not that people's not... rejecting the word and not hearing because they don't hear it. Now that maybe can be said in a lot of churches in this country and around the world in our day, friend. I had a lady, and I'll not get real specific right here, but I had a lady Sunday that was in this service that told me, she said, I have never heard my pastor, and not talking about me, preach on sin. Never. And I know I read some of your minds. Boy, I wish we had one like that. Hey, you have to watch it. I might read your mind. Yeah, Jesus walked through a crowd and they reasoned in their hearts and all that. He stopped and said, hey, what are you thinking that? What are you reasoning in your heart about that right there? That caused some of you to turn pale, wouldn't it? Straight as heck. That puts a fear of God in somebody, wouldn't it, Brother Craig? Come on. Huh? Lord, help us. I don't even know what is on now. Can somebody help me? Oh, yeah. The absence of truth. Some don't ever get no preaching. And it's hard to practice what you don't ever hear preached. If you don't ever hear preach, you don't ever hear separation preached on, worldliness and music and apparel and dress, which is in the Bible. I'm not blushing. I don't have to hang my head as if I'm preaching something that's not in the Bible. Amen. You're going to be hard-pressed to deal with that when the very first thing that God dealt with after the fall was their dress, their apparel, their aprons, the flimsy, skimpy fig leaves. Must be important to God, amen. Must be. Well, I better get off that. It's not because of the absence of truth. Watch this. Secondly, it's not because of the ignorance. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. There's no ignorance there implied. Not because of the absence of truth, not because of the ignorance of truth, not because of the inability toward the truth. Brother Carroll, everything that's in that Bible that gets preached to me in printed form or expounded from the Word of God, every one of us not only are obligated, Brother Aaron, to do it, but we can do it. With every commandment God gives, He gives the enablement to do it. Amen. He said, thou shalt not kill. Guess what? You can live your whole life without killing somebody. Amazing, isn't it? God says, love your enemies. That's a tall one. But with the commandment comes enablement. I can't do that in my own self. You can't. Amen. God tells me to love some people, but it's hard to love them. It's hard to love people when they, you know, if they're doing something against you, if they hurt you or hurt your family. Amen. Somebody mess with Blake, it'd be hard for me to hug their neck. Oh, I'd hug their neck. Hold them till they quit breathing. Hug them real tight. I'm talking about tight. That's the flesh, amen. If Jesus can look down from the cross at the very people that was holding the blood-stained spear and said, Father, forgive them, but they don't know what they do. You said, preacher, that's easy. I believe I could do that if I knew they didn't know what they're doing. But when they know what they're doing, and I know what they're doing, and they know I know what they're doing, that's when it's a problem. So it didn't come. The reasons for letting it slip wasn't because of the absence of truth. It wasn't because of the ignorance of the truth. It wasn't because of the inabilities toward the truth. And I'm going to, this right here, boy, God give this to me. I mean, just like this. Look at this word. I'm going to give you one more. How many say, everybody say one more. Y'all going to hold me to it, aren't you? This one scares me to death, this word. Actually, in our King James Bible, it's two words. To give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I wrote this down. It's an anytime potential, lest at any time. That covers any time. Not only is it an anytime potential, it's an anyone potential. Lest we, he uses the word lest at any time we. So it's not only at any time. Brother, listen, you don't never have a good day to where you're exempt from this. You don't ever have a good week. You don't ever get on a spiritual level where you're exempt from this. Lest at any time. I've seen preachers fall. I've saw Christians been saved longer than a lot longer than I have been. And they great, great people. But then somewhere along the way, they messed up. And they did something they shouldn't have. And maybe, I don't know. Maybe they got a little cocky. Maybe they got a little confident, maybe put a little confidence in the flesh, thinking, I can handle that. But in the same Bible that tells me to have no confidence in the flesh will tell me also to be sure your sins will find you out. Are you listening? And I could give you examples without giving details. Amen, right there. A little inside information there. You think you got it covered? And that word where it says there, be sure your sins will find you out, means it'll have a resurrection. You think you got it buried? You think it's got it, it's deeply buried? Nobody, it'll rise, there'll be something you forgot to dig, there'll be something that you forgot to bury, there'll be something you forgot to erase, there'll be something you forgot to do. And be sure your sins will find you out. That ought to haunt us. So it's an anytime potential. It's an anyone potential. Listen, it's an anything potential. And it's an anywhere potential. Anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's in America, RBT, or if it's in China. It doesn't make no difference. Slipping is always a threat. It's always a threat. And it is very destructive to your spiritual life. And I beg you, listen, we need to all pray one for another. We need to all pray one for another. I'm telling you. Don't let up on the things which you have heard. Don't make it, listen, if there's a benefit of the doubt, give God the benefit of the doubt. If there's something in your life that's questionable, listen, give God the benefit of the doubt. It'd be a lot easier to get to heaven at the judgment seat and find out why you didn't have to quit that. You didn't have to give that up. Than to keep doing it or whatever and get there and just find out, oops. Amen. You ought to ask yourself, God, deal with me. Deal with me. Deal with me. What's a hindrance in my life? What's hindering me? What am I not giving the more earnest heed to? And you ought to pray for your preacher. You ought to pray for your preacher, amen, that God would help me to be faithful, to preach the whole counsel, and preach whatever's in that Bible that we need, preach it. And preach it in love. Amen. Now, I know a lot of people don't want that. I know a lot of people's not looking for that, and they don't like that. And my flesh don't like it, and yours don't either. But we ought to not be interested in what the flesh wants anyway. We ought to be interested in what does God want. What does God want? Anyway, I'm confident as I can be that the Lord landed me on that verse. Soon as I seen it, it started working in my heart. Just churning and working in my heart. Amen. And I knew I was going to have to deal with it tonight. And I tell you what I didn't do. I preached from that verse. I preached from that passage before. I did not look at any of my other notes. Not even word definitions. I could have pulled up other messages that had these words in it, but I wanted to study them out and look them up afresh just because I needed it. Amen.